And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. Welcome to Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be looking at something very interesting. At least I believe it is. I think you're going to enjoy the program today. We're going to be looking at a wall. A wall. The Wailing Wall, it's called, in Jerusalem. I think the official name of it is the Western Wall. It's really the ruins of an old fort, but we'll get into that in just a moment. It's a place where the Jews say you can go and meet God. That's very interesting, isn't it? You can go and meet God. They say they do. And they go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and they leave notes. They put the notes in the cracks in the wall, in the stones, between the stones. And these are prayers to their God. Now, their God is not our God. You may have heard that the Jews worship the same God that we do, but that would be inaccurate. They have their own covenant, which we know from Hebrews and Romans that Jesus came and he gave us a new and better covenant. The old one, the Bible says, was flawed. F-L-A-W-E-D. It was flawed. If it had not been flawed, there would be no reason to replace it. Now, would there? But it was flawed because it was based on the law, on the doing of many things, including good works. But of doing all those things, that it just turned out that no one really could do all the good works. It was impossible for man in his flesh to perform the law. Well, thank God Jesus came, gave us a new covenant, and he didn't abolish the law, but he put the law in our hearts. He wrote it on your heart. So you have a conscience. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit guiding you. The Bible actually says that God teaches through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left this earth, he says, "Don't worry, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things." The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God, and God is God. In John 1, we see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we, the Apostle John says, beheld his glory. Jesus was the Word of God before he ever came in his incarnation as a man. And when he went back to heaven, he returned as the Word of God. You may say, no, he went back as a man. Well, read Revelation 19. And you will see that he is now still the Word of God. A very majestic Lord indeed. And in fact, it says there that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, I'm not going to talk about the Trinity today. Some people say they don't believe in the Trinity. Some people say they do. I don't even ever use the word Trinity. But I do believe that there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. Why do I say that? Because that's in 1 John. There are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. Well, that's impossible. That's physics. That you can't have three in one place. I like that. You know, God just confounds us all, doesn't he? He does it. I suppose, if you're right about the law of physics, he defies the law of physics. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, the lamb wasn't slain until, 1900 and so many years ago. But he had it in mind, didn't he? And you know, time is nothing to God. Oh, I shouldn't say it's nothing. I don't mean that. But I mean that it's irrelevant. He is a timeless creature. A lot of times we get things all mixed up and messed up in our minds because we think in terms of chronology. And a day to us is when the sun goes down and comes back up, there's a day. Well, and we have 365 days in a year and it goes on. But wait, there are many planets that don't have our sun and they must have days too. What kind of days do they have? Well, God is the master of time. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the devils at the Wailing Wall. Oh, there are devils there. Any time you have a counterfeit God and you worship him, well, there'll be devils there. How do I know the Jews do not worship our God? Well, read 1 John 2, verse 22. Read 1 John 4, 3. And read 2 John 1, verse 7. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Think about that. John said, if you don't have the Father, you don't have the Son. But also, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. It's a package deal, you see. In fact, I'll give you three for one. I'll give you the Holy Spirit as well. Is that the Trinity? Well, the Bible doesn't even use the term the Trinity. It just tells you what God is. Yeah, we could argue all day about that. I'm just going to tell you what God said, okay? But if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, and Jews do, their Talmud, their halakhic law, denies Jesus. Calls him a blasphemer, and worse, he's the son of a whore, and all kind of trash they talk about Jesus in the Jewish Talmud. That's what all the rabbis learn, of course. That's their main holy book. They don't even talk about the five first books of the Bible, you know, the Torah. When a Jew says, I have studied the Torah, they basically mean they've studied the Talmud. The Talmud and the Torah are basically interchangeable to the Jew. But who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? You know, the Bible couldn't tell you better than that, could it? Now, I know all these Hollywood types, they don't believe in Jesus. I was recently reading a well-known journalist, and he said, I do not know of one journalist that works for any major publication or organization. You know, we're talking about the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, or CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, all of those organizations. I do not know one of them that is a Bible-believing Christian. Didn't take him to tell me that, did it you? If they believed in Jesus, we would have more holy programs. We wouldn't have all the garbage we've got coming out. We wouldn't have all the lies and the covering up we have in the news media. But let me tell you something about all these people. And you can name them all, Barbara Walters and, Diane Sawyer, Brian Williams. You know, all of these people, they're all liars. Oh, Tex, Mr. Williams is so respected, and Katie Couric, she's so perky and nice, and oh, surely you're not telling me they're lying. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Do you believe the Bible? If you do, then they're liars, because they deny that Jesus is the Christ. But all the Jews do. He is Antichrist, the Bible says, that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, these Jews that go to this Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, on top of what is called the Temple Mount or the Temple Mountain, they say that they're visiting a holy place. And they can feel a divine presence there. I think they're right. I think there is a, what you would call a divine presence. His name is Satan. I think Satan goes to the Wailing Wall. You won't find Jesus Christ there. The Jews don't honor him. They don't respect him. They don't admire him. They don't pray to him. You cannot pray to some other God and think God is going to reward you. Don't you get the Ten Commandments? It says, thou shalt have no other God before me. That means in front of me. Well, they do worship God. But wait, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Yeah, but they have the Father. Well, they don't. They don't have the Son. I mean, come on, it's a package deal. This is the same nonsense we get with the Muslims. They worship Allah, that's God. But they say Jesus is not the Christ. He's not the Son of God. They don't have the Son, they don't have the Father. Well, they must have the Father. They've got Allah. There are many names out there for gods and goddesses and all kinds of semi-urges and demon spirits. Oh, you're not calling their God a demon, are you? Yes, I am. Of course I am. And the Jewish God is a demon because they've been abandoned by the true God because they abandoned him first. And he's not going to hang around where he's not wanted, you know. He has more respect than that. Well, you have to understand who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. There are many Antichrists, but there's going to be one great Antichrist. The man with the number 666. But there are many Antichrists. Throughout history, there have been many Antichrists. And there are today many who are Antichrist. Now, let's talk about this Wailing Wall, so-called. The Western Wall in Jerusalem. First of all, it looks like the remains of a wall. And there are these huge stones in it. And it is claimed that this is what is left of Herod's great temple. You know, we had, you know, Solomon's temple. And then we had, you know, Zedekiah came back and, Zechariah, that is. Nehemiah. I suppose it was Nehemiah that came back and built the wall back and the temple and all that. But Herod built this great temple. He wanted to impress the Jewish people, and he built this great temple. Oh, what a fabulous building it was. It was incredible. It was one of the wonders of the world that he built. And all of the Jews admired, and it was a beloved thing, and the Sanhedrin would meet there, and all the money changers were there, and I mean, oh my goodness. You had to see that temple. If you were a tourist and coming into Jerusalem, the great city, you'd have to go to the Temple Mountain and see the great temple of Herod. But one day, Jesus was communicating with his disciples, and they wanted him to see the temple. Now, you'll read about this in Matthew chapter 24. It says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He had been there with his disciples. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Oh, they were so impressed. They said, look at this temple, Lord. Isn't it fabulous? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a behemoth? Isn't it impressive? Verse 2, and Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily, that means truthfully, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Oh my goodness. There shall not be, Jesus prophesied, one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. His disciples were so shocked they came to him privately. They said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They knew some horrible event would have to occur, the end of the world, for that great temple to come down stone after stone. Now, in the previous chapter, in chapter 23, Verse 38, Jesus said something else. There was another prophecy that Jesus gave to the city of Jerusalem, to the people of Israel. He said, behold, your house, the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Their house, the house of Israel, is left unto them desolate. And part of that desolation is the destruction of the great temple. And so he was accused when he was put on trial. The Jews said of him, he's the one that's going to tear the temple down. He's going to rouse the people up and they're going to come and tear down the temple. Of course, Jesus didn't say that at all. He didn't say who was going to do it. He said it's just going to be done. And you know, in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus was sent by the Caesar of Rome to destroy the city of Jerusalem. They got tired of the Jews being so evil and so disagreeable and so rebellious. And they just said, we're going to end it. We're going to end this empire of the Jews. We're not going to take it anymore from these piddly people. Maybe they didn't use the term piddly, but I do. I'm pretty sure they use harsher words than piddly. And they came and they tore down the temple just as Jesus prophesied. And what did he prophesy? He said, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. There were no ruins of the temple, my good friends. Every stone was thrown down, one on top of another. And the Jews even hid down in the tunnels underneath, where, by the way, they hide today. There's a great Masonic lodge underneath the temple. You can reach the door of that lodge, and there's a huge plaque on it that announces what it is when you go through the entrance known as Zedekiah's Cave. Behold, your house, the house of Israel, is left to you desolate. Not one stone will be left on another. Did Jesus tell the truth, or do the Jews tell the truth today when they take you to Jerusalem as a tourist? And if you have the opportunity to go to the Wailing Wall and they say, this is the remains that were left after Titus came. No, they're not. Well, then what is that? Well, you see, over the centuries, since Titus in 70 AD, and by the way, Titus did such a good job of destroying Jerusalem and massacring hundreds of thousands of Jews that when he went back to Rome, they were so pleased with him, he eventually became the emperor. He became Caesar himself, Titus. Now, these rocks, I guess, were useful for other things, and they were brought and made into this house or this city building or that city building over the centuries. Of course, the Jews were not allowed to return for quite a time. And eventually in the 12th century, the Romans and others built another Fort Antonia there. Now, you can read Dr. Ernest Martin's article about this on Google, on the internet. Just Google up Dr. Ernest Martin, the Wailing Wall, and he tells the whole story. But what you're seeing on these rocks that are left now, the remains, I think it's like 187 feet of rocks. And then it goes on. There are many, many structures underground that just keeps, you know, on building underground. This is the ancient Roman Fort Antonia, named after Anthony. Now, in the 4th century, the Jews began to try to claim it again, but it didn't work. Then in the 11th century, the Jews said, you know, these remains here are our temple. And then finally, in the 19th century, when Rothschild went in there and they began, you know, he actually founded the city of Tel Aviv in 1909. That's when the Jews started saying, well, boy, that was our temple. Those remains are the rocks left for our temple. But they're the rocks left for Fort Antonia. I want you to understand that. Now, if you go to visit the Wailing Wall, and every tourist has to go to the Wailing Wall, you know that a little rabbi will escort you. There's a little rabbi that, you know, I've seen him in so many pictures, the same guy. Why, he escorted President George Bush, the senior. Then he brought George W. Bush up there. Then he, I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or Rand Paul or Ted Cruz, today's senators, or John McCain. They all get taken to two places, basically. Vad Yashem, the Holocaust Museum, and then they get taken up to the Wailing Wall. If you don't go to the Wailing Wall, why, you're insulting them. You see, the Jews are the eternal victims. They say we've been kicked out of more countries than any other people, and the people have no reason for hating us. It's just because we're Jews. No, it's because you're meddlesome people. You're contrary. The Apostle Paul said to all men, you're contrary to them. You have a dark, dark society, and you're a bunch of revolutionary troublemakers, and people pretty well get sick of it. It doesn't take the Jews long after having freedom in a country to start dealing behind the scenes and having all kind of money schemes and crooked corruption, and people just get sick and tired of it. Look in the United States. The Jews run Hollywood and all of the pornography there, and they run Wall Street and all the financial and money corruption there. And now they're in Washington, D.C., all their lobbies telling our Congress what to do, and they're only around 2% of the American population. And the American people are beginning to say, hold on, fellas. We're a free country. We're not going to be run by you 2% that are Jews. And eventually people rise up and throw them out of a country. That's what happens. Now, I want you to understand that if you do go to Jerusalem and if you do visit the Wailing Wall, you will discover something very bad. Everybody that goes there says, oh, I was so inspired. I was so filled with, you know, godliness. Oh, baloney. If anything, you're full, you're filled with ambition and greed and lust and the devil being there. Because that's the only divine presence you're going to see there. God destroyed the temple. It was there somewhere on that Temple Mountain, but it's been destroyed. Why would God destroy the temple? It was an evil place. God found it evil. Yes, but a pastor says to me, they're going to rebuild the temple, and I want to help them to rebuild their temple. And then Jesus can go in there again, and they can start their sacrifices once again. Say what? Did I hear you right, pastor? Did you tell me you're going to help the Jews rebuild their temple? And did I hear you right when you said Jesus is going to go in there? I mean, he destroyed the place. He said your house is left unto you desolate. Why would he destroy it and you come back and try to build it? You're fighting God. Every Christian evangelical, by visiting that horrible, sick, demonic place, the Wailing Wall, is fighting God. Oh, that just can't be. Surely that's God's holy temple. It should be. And when people call it God's temple, that's okay if they mean by that it once was God's. Now, read what Acts chapter 7, verses 47 through 50. Listen to what God said about the temple. And this is the words of Stephen. And after he said these words, in other words, he was stoned to death. He was murdered by the Jews. You see, he told them, he gave them the martyr Stephen in the book of Acts. He gave the Jews, they ordered him to tell them why he was worshiping Jesus, why he was preaching Jesus. And what he did was to give them a sermon, a history of the Jewish people. He reminded them that God had taken the Jews from Egypt and had brought them to Canaan and done so many wonderful miracles from them, but they still left God and returned back to the demonic gods of Egypt. Even after God brought them through the Red Sea and all of Pharaoh's armies were drowned, they went on. The stories of Moses and Joshua, they had forgotten, and they began to worship the evil gods once again. In fact, Stephen said, you even worship Rimphan and Kiun and Moloch. Boy, you sacrificed your own children to these false gods. Boy, they didn't want to hear that. They had pretended that they had forgotten that. Now, he talked about the temple. He said, but Solomon built him, that's God, a house. Howbeit, now listen to this. Howbeit, said Stephen, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with human hands, made with hands, as saith the prophet. Solomon built him a home, a temple. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? They wanted to build him a temple. And now they have Herod's temple. This is for you, God. This is a place of rest for you. And God said, I don't need your temple. I don't dwell in a temple made with human hands. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. This is not a God that's like a man. This is the majestic, wonderful God who created the whole universe, and heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. He doesn't need a temple made with human hands. And he destroyed it. And you, Christian pastor, want to build it again? You want to build God a place of rest? You want to build him a great temple in Jerusalem? He doesn't want your temple. But he is building a temple. And I'll tell you about that temple when we return. It's a temple built without human hands. And maybe you, maybe yes, you are a rough ashlar. Maybe you're just a little stone on the temple. Maybe we're all put together as living stones. A great temple built by the Holy Ghost, built by Jesus Christ. Oh my, what a temple that is. The Jews don't have that temple. They've never had a temple like that. This is Jesus' temple. It's his people. We're all living stones. That's what the Bible says. And when we come back, we're going to talk more. I'm going to tell you why it's a devil's place at the Wailing Wall. And we're going to see that the Jews who sacrifice chickens and goats and red heifers and all this nonsense, they're wasting their time. Even the Ark of the Covenant cannot be put back in place there. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. It's not on earth. You're not going to find it. Indiana Jones, he can't find it. I'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Marsh. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Marsh here. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about our conference that's coming up very soon here. In fact, I believe it's November the 8th or 9th. It actually officially begins. Oh, the 8th, you know, you go in and get to your hotel room. But it's the ninth that it starts that morning, and we have six great speakers. I'm one of them. The rest, they're probably better speakers than me, but I'm going to give it a good shot. I'm going to give my talk, and I have some interesting tidbits for you, interesting information. I'm going to talk about DNA and the Jewish bloodline. We have Phil Turney of the USS Liberty, the ship that was attacked by the Israelis and those poor sailors that were killed in that attack, and how it was covered up by Admiral McCain and President Lyndon Johnson. Phil Turney is going to speak. Of course, let's see, Jerry, who else we got coming for that? We've got Bishop Williamson. Yeah, you know, we're having this conference, the Free Speech Conference, here in Austin, Texas. And it's sort of interesting that, you know, I'd let them know that I would be glad to cooperate and to help the conference. And I love it because it's a Veterans Day weekend. And we're going to honor all the veterans, whether you're a veteran or not. Come on out. Now, the American Free Press newspaper is going to be having this, and we're going to be co-sponsors of it. They've invited the speakers, and I see that they've got Bishop Richard Williamson. He's the guy that said that he wasn't sure that 6 million died in the Holocaust. And, well, the Catholic Church, you know, they were going to punish him for that. I don't know what all happened in that, but they've invited him to this. I didn't invite him myself, but I'm glad to hear him speak. You know, here's the whole thing. There are people there that, you know, like Bishop Williamson, he's evidently a traditional Catholic, unless he's been excommunicated by now. I'm not sure which, but I'm going to go there and just tell him just what I want to say. You know, that's the fun thing. This is a free speech event. But Phil Turney is going to be there. Tex Mars, Deanna Spingola, you got her book about the ruling elite. Two books she's done. Wow, she's got great history books. Paul Tapete, he's a leader of a band, and he had some things, bad things happen to him by the ADL. Mark Dankoff is a pastor from down in San Antonio, Texas. He's going to be there. Just a lot of great folks. Want you to come now. Willis Carto, the publisher of American Free Press, will be there. You know, Jerry, Willis is a veteran himself. He got the Purple Heart in the Philippines during World War II. He's been around a long time. Think about that. The Purple Heart during World War II in the Philippine Islands. And, of course, I was a Vietnam vet during that era. I served. Very glad to have done that in the Air Force. But hey, you don't have to be a Vietnam vet or any kind of a vet. Just come on out. We're going to have a good time. Now, here's who to call to get information about this. All right. Let me give you the name of the individual. Julia Foster. Julia. Her phone number is 202. That's area code 202-544-5977. Now, if you need a hotel room, she knows where the hotel's going to be. She's got the hotel room. She's going to do the whole thing. She's going to help you out in doing this. But if you can come to Austin, Texas, and boy, it's beautiful here. Hey, we got 80 some odd degree, 82 degrees outside today. The sun is shining. I hope it doesn't take a turn for the worse and get sort of cold. And everybody's, you know, slapping me around. You lied to us, Tex Morris. I'm not going to lie to you. It should be nice and beautiful here. You know, we really don't get any real cold weather down here in Texas till about December, but it could surprise us. But right now we're only about 3 weeks away from this conference time, and it's lovely. So I want you to come on out, won't you? Veterans Day weekend in Austin, Texas. A lot of beautiful things to see here in Austin. Come down and see our state capital. You know, it's the largest state capital in the whole United States of all 50 states. It's the largest. It's a beautiful building. It's right down Congress Avenue downtown. Just beautiful. You're going to enjoy being here. So, again, call Julia at 202-544-5977. Any questions you have about the conference, how to register, what the cost is going to be. Now, the cost, we've made it really low because we want you to come. We're not trying to make money on this conference. We want to honor the veterans and demonstrate free speech. No telling what I'm going to talk about. It may surprise you. Whatever God leads me to say, I'm going to say it. And nobody's going to shut me up. How about that? You may come too. Maybe nobody will shut you up either. We won't. I won't. I promise you that. But I want to hug your neck. I want to shake your hand. Wanda will be there too. And in fact, all our office crew are going to be there. So come on out and meet us, okay? To register, call 202-544-5977. Phil Turney, Bishop Williamson, Mark Dankoff, Pastor Mark Dankoff, Paul Topeat, Deanna Spingola. She's a regular on the radio. I know a lot of you listen to her radio show. And Tex Mars. I'm going to come there and be heading up. I'm not going to be the head of the group, but I'll be one of the speakers. And then we're going to have Phil Turney, the USS Liberty survivor, to speak at the Saturday night banquet. We're going to have a banquet too. Now you don't have to get all dressed up and all that stuff. You know, it's maybe a little bit chilly at night. You may want to wear a coat or something, but basically just come. That's all we want of you. Please come. All right. You know, let's just not worry about selling the book or anything today. Let's just go on and talk more about the Wailing Wall. You want to, Jerry? Jerry's my broadcast engineer here. He's a good man. He's my web guy too. So if you need our books and all that, go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. And thank him for that. That's his website. Now, I know Tex Mars is on it, but, you know, he does all the work on it. He does a great job. He's I think they call it webmaster or something like that. But anyway, he's the website manager. We'll just call him. Now, we're talking about the Wailing Wall, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not a nice place. Now, the Wailing Wall is there, and you may say, well, it's the Wailing Wall. What are they crying about? What are they wailing about? Well, they're wailing because they want a temple. They want to restart their sacrifices again. The Jews have been looking for a red heifer that doesn't even have one little white speck of hair. He's got to be pure red, got to be beautiful. If they can find him, then they can sacrifice him. Now, the way they sacrifice an animal is to cut their throat from ear to ear. It's not a nice thing, folks. I tell you, that's the way they kosher murder or kill the cattle. But you know what? We don't have the sacrifice of animals anymore. Jesus Christ came and he gave himself as the ransom. He gave himself. He shed his blood for you and me. He is the one sacrifice for all time. Now, if you're a Catholic, I suppose Bishop Williamson, he may listen to this program, and that's just the way it goes. But he doesn't need to sacrifice in the Mass every week or every day. He doesn't need to keep re-sacrificing Jesus over and over. Now, if he does it as a memorial, but I believe they actually believe it's the body and the blood, or the flesh and the blood. You take communion in the Catholic Church, you're actually consuming the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, if it's a memorial, but they say it's more than a memorial. It actually is Jesus. I don't think that's true at all, but, you know, we'll let them play their little games, won't we? The Vatican, they got a lot of games to play. Now, what kind of city is this where the Wailing Wall is? Where they're going to go up there and wail and cry, and they have all these Jews that do that. They go up there with their little black outfits, the Hasidic Jews, and their beards. And they wail and they wail. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of some secrets, really, what they're doing. You see, in the Jewish religion, you've got to pray. You've got to chant. They have chanting. They'll take a verse out of the Psalms and just chant it over and over and over again. That's what Jesus called vain repetition. He did. He said, Don't do that. Don't have vain repetition. When you talk to God, God doesn't want that. How would you like it? Somebody comes over to see you. They've got something important to tell you. And they have, you know, one line or one little verse, and they just over and over, roar, 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 roar. Vain repetition, the Bible calls it. God doesn't like that. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear, listen to this, friends, from you. What's on your heart? What's in your mind? What's been going on with your life? How about your friends, your family, and all of those things? What do you want God to do in your life? What are you going to do for God? This is your best friend, Jesus Christ. Tell him about yourself. Talk to him. He's even told you how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, there's the Lord's Prayer. Say the Lord's Prayer, but don't say it over and over and over again. I think God is great enough to hear you one time. You know, he can hear you the first time. He doesn't need your vain repetition. And he doesn't need you to go all the way to Jerusalem, to the top of a hill, having pre-written a prayer, and you fold the little prayer, the piece of paper up, and you stick it in the crack. Thank you, God, for hearing my prayer. Friends, let me tell you what that is. That's mumbo jumbo. First of all, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is named Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The Jews up there, they're not bowing to Jesus Christ. They think he's a blasphemer in hell. They don't know he is the God of the universe. They have a mumbo jumbo religion. Did you know that the Jews actually worship a goddess? They do. You can read this. I've read their Kabbalah. They actually worship a goddess. And her name is Malkuth. Malkuth. M-A-L-K-U-T-H. Now, I know you've heard that the Jews only worship one God. They're big on that. That's just for public consumption. They worship a number of gods and goddesses. Oh, yes. Yes, they do. The tree of the life, the tree of life, they call it. The tree of life. Every branch seems to have another god. In fact, they worship the male penis. I'm even sorry to say that. They worship the male penis as a god. But one of the gods they worship is Malkuth. The name once was Moloch. It's the goddess. The great goddess. And the more they pray to her, the more they arouse the serpent. Oh, they believe in the serpent. In the Jewish religion, the serpent is aroused, the dark black serpent. I was reading a book recently by a well-known Jewish rabbi. Its title, The Serpent Within the Serpent. Yeah, written by a Jewish rabbi. He believes in this stuff. He believes that the Jews pray to arouse the serpent. And they believe that the serpent is rising. The more they pray, the more they fill the air with prayers and chanting. And they rock back and forth. Have you ever seen the Jews? And they rock back and forth. They rock back and forth. Right there at the wall. They're right there in front of the steps. And you'll see them rocking back and forth. You know what they're doing? They're having sex with the goddess. You say, Tex, that's incredible. That's sacrilegious. That's horrible. It's Judaism. That's what the Jews do. Now, have you seen these little rabbis with these little black hats and the black suit, and they have hair and it comes down like little serpent coils? Oh, yes, serpent coils. They worship the serpent. They have a name for the serpent. You can read about it in the book of Job. Leviathan is his name. And they believe that as they pray, the goddess, and they have sex with the goddess, then in their minds, of course, all of this is in their minds, that the serpent is aroused. And it goes up and up and ascends. And if enough Jews pray and chant, the serpent will come up through the top. He will emerge into the outer environment of the tree of life. eventually, someday, the serpent will come up on the surface of the earth, and this great serpent will devour and destroy. And he is worshipped by the Jews. He is their Christ figure, the serpent. And he will make them masters, kings, divine lords of this planet. That's why God, in Revelation 11, verse 8, speaks of Jerusalem as a horrible city called Sodom and Egypt. He has code names for the city of Jerusalem. You may call it the Holy Land. You may call it a wonderful city of God, but not him, not the God of the Bible, not the God of the New Testament. He says this city is the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. What city is that? Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know this serpent, Leviathan, symbolizes the devil. And what is his name in Judaism? In the Kabbalah, it is Abaddon, the father of Dan. Abaddon, the father of Dan. Why Dan? He's not one of the 12 tribes of Egypt. He was once. He was one of the 12 sons, the 12 tribes. But you won't find him listed in the book of Revelation among the 12 tribes. Because his father, before he died, gave a prophecy over him and said, Dan, you will be the serpent, the adder that lies along the path. When the horseman comes up, you will bite the horseman on the heel and he will overthrow the rider. You will bring judgment, Dan, on your people. Oh, Dan, Abaddon. This is the great God Abaddon. He is the angel of the bottomless pit. He is the serpent that's aroused by the prayers and chants of the Jews. And in their imagination, they're having sex with the goddess. You see, as long as you're praying, you're keeping Satan from having sex with the goddess. Now, I know you're out there saying, do what? What are you talking about, Tex Mars? I'm talking to you about Judaism. This is what you discover as you go up the ranks. You discover, if you were to convert to Judaism, they would teach you this in the Kabbalah. But it would take many years, of course, of study and instruction. Read Revelation 9, verse 11. It says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. God told you the Jews have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. That's their tree of life, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Their tree of life is the six-pointed star. In actuality, that's what it is. And it is coded 666, the number of the beast. Now, they say the Wailing Wall, where they copulate with the goddess, where they have this mumbo-jumbo religion that they worship, where they put their prayer in a crack in the wall, in a crack in the stones, or between the stones. They say they're going to rebuild the temple. The Jews do. And you know, the Freemasons are going to help them too. Oh yes, the Freemasons are going to help them. Let me tell you, I've read the plan of the Freemasons, and the Jews is atop. Netanyahu was initiated in the Masonic Lodge when he went to the university up in Massachusetts. Oh yes, he went to the an American school. And he was initiated into the Masonic Lodge. And the Masonic Lodge says it will rule the world. There will be a world empire of the Jews. And all of Freemasonry is based on the Jewish Kabbalah and its rituals. And they say their great king will come. That would be, of course, the serpent. You see how mumbo jumbo this religion is? The Masonry, the Masonic religion is mixed in with the Jewish. And oh, they worship greatly the temple, the great temple. It has huge significance. And the Masons say they will rebuild the temple. They say, yes, there can be sanctuaries built on the Temple Mount. There can be a Jewish sanctuary. There can be a Muslim sanctuary, and there can be a Christian. But right in the midst of them, like a wheel, these will be all around it. But in the middle of the wheel will be the great Freemasonry temple, the temple of all religions. Oh, yes. Freemason John Robinson wrote about that. I have his book. But God doesn't need a temple. God doesn't need your sacrifices. Jesus already sacrificed. He's alive. He rose from the dead. He had the power to do so. They thought they had killed him. But he rose from the dead, and now he lives forevermore. The temple has no significance. Jesus, of course, has his own kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. The Wailing Wall has no significance for Jesus. The only sure cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Now, the Illuministic Freemasons call themselves the Builders. That's one of the names. And their God is called, euphemistically, he's called the Great Architect or the Grand Architect. But oh, their foundation, it's sorely lacking, friends. And you can only build on one foundation, that is Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. And only one stone is truly worthy. Only one stone is truly worthy. But the builders rejected that sure foundation stone, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's not man's doing. It's not Judaism. They can't build another temple. It's not the Freemasons' doing. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous. And if you want to know what marvelous means, look it up in the dictionary. See how marvelous the word marvelous is. Okay. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? He is the head. He is the sure foundation. Jesus is that sure foundation stone. There can be no heavenly built Zion without him reigning over it as king. There can never be an earthly Zion. We've already seen that God said, you want to build an earthly Zion? You Christian evangelicals, you Christian Zionists, and you Jews, you want to rebuild Jerusalem into a holy city and rebuild the temple? You want to reinstitute the sacrifices and all of that? No. That's trash. That's garbage. There is a heavenly Jerusalem. There is another world that you cannot see with your eyes, dear friends. It is the kingdom of God, and it exists all around you. And if you're a member of it, you're one of those living stones. And you don't need to sacrifice a chicken or a goat or a red heifer. And the Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. It is in heaven. It's not on earth. Indiana Jones and all these people can't find it. And I'm not even looking. Are you? Now, one more thing I should tell you is about the Yarmulke. It can be white. It can be black. The Pope likes to wear the white one. I suppose that means he's more pure or something. The rabbis usually wear the little black one. What does the Yarmulke mean? Well, basically it means they're protecting themselves from the demon spirits. That's why they have to wear it. They're afraid of the demon spirits. They're protecting themselves from the demon spirits. A little strange, isn't it? They've got a demon in their heart because they've rejected Christ, but they worry about the demons attacking them on their head. Well, oh my. Now, what does all this mean for you and me? It means God's word tells us we don't need another temple. It means if you're helping the Jews to build a temple, you're defying God. if you're helping the Jews to build another kingdom on this earth and Jerusalem will be the holy city you believe, you're wrong. Because God's great city is the new Jerusalem. It's in heaven. If you're a Christian, you're part of the kingdom of God. And when you come to know Jesus Christ, he comes in your heart. Then are you translated. You're made a new person. It's a spiritual thing, dear friends. It's not a carnal thing. Those who are spiritual minded, who have Jesus, are always confronted with these pastors and these false teachers who try to differentiate between the spiritual and the physical. But they get it all mixed up. I just recently had a pastor say, well, what about the physical nation of Israel? What about the Jews? What about the... I said, that's all flesh. That's all blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, but the Jews, the temple, he kept talking about the realm of the physical. I said, Jesus said in John 17 that his disciples are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You want to be of the world? You want to help the Jews? You want to help build their temple? Good, go ahead. Then you will not have a part in the world to come, which is actually right here now. Nicodemus went to see Jesus and had a conversation with him. And the Bible records that the master of Israel, that's what Nicodemus was. He was a religious leader, but he knew nothing about spiritual things. Jesus said to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Invisible. In order for Nicodemus to understand spiritual things, he must first of all be born of the Spirit, born again in the Spirit. Then he would be in line with spiritual things and the world to come, but he would right now be in the kingdom of God, translated into it immediately. The person who is in the kingdom of God, that could be you, dear friends, thinks about spiritual things. You don't have a divided loyalty. You are always thinking of spiritual things. I know you are. I am myself. And someday I'll be separated from this body. It's going to stay here, but I will be translated. I'm going to get a new body, a glorified body. I don't know what it's going to look like, and I don't care. But I know it'll be somewhat like Jesus. We'll see him as he is. Men today search for the land of Canaan. They search for Jerusalem, and they kill to arrive at that city. The Catholics fought the Muslims for it, and they lost. And now the Jews are fighting the Muslims today for it, and both sides will lose. Because you, dear friends, don't want that city of Jerusalem, which is Sodom and Egypt. What you want. Is the kingdom of God. What you want is the new Jerusalem. That's where the saints of God are. That's where the saints of God are. You can have that for yourself. Just ask Jesus to come in your life. He'll do it. Repent of your sins. And get those washed by the blood of the Lamb. Then you won't have to worry about going in any wailing wall. You won't have to be one of these politicians. Get your name out there. Have all the cameras on you so you can bring the picture back and say, see, I was at the Wailing Wall. See? You don't want to do that. The kingdom of God is greater than anything in this earth. Anything. And that includes the Wailing Wall. Well, I'm Tex Mars. It's been great to be with you today. We've looked at the devils at the Wailing Wall. But there is a wall greater than that. There is a city gleaming. And I'm going to go there. How about you? My friends, until next time, this is Tex Mars. Tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.